The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We are Living by the Word Ministries, a nonprofit organization dedicated to one cause. That cause is the truth given in the Holy Bible, which we believe is the inerrant and infallible Word of God, conferred to man to live by. We let the Word of God be the final authority as to what is or is not true. We strongly feel that if we do not expose false doctrine, we only encourage it. This ministry is designed to challenge you from an apologetic point of view. 1 Peter 3:15 instructs us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. This is Michael Tinsley. Please stay tuned while we arm you, the believer, to keep living by the Word. It's the noble thing to do.
Yes, it is indeed the noble thing to do. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Bible Information Brokers. The Bible Information Brokers is a presentation of the Living by the Word Ministries. My name is Eric Stanton. I am one of the teammates here. I actually will be taking your phone calls this evening. I am here in my little studio with our engineer extraordinaire, Ozzy. Just a little bit, we're going to be introducing you to the rest of the teammates. But before I do that, I want to give you the number to start calling in. And actually, I want to ask everyone to wait a little bit before you start calling in, because we're going to have something a little special. After I asked Daryl Fulton, one of the teammates, to, if you don't mind praying us in, Daryl.
Father God, just thank you for life. And I specifically ask for all the teammates, be it the staff, be it the engineer, be it the listening audience. We're all a team to consecrate this time to glorify you. Help us, Lord. Give us what we need in our minds and our hearts. Help us to focus on how we can participate in today's broadcast, Lord, so that we can learn some things about you, learn some things about ourselves through your word. We ask this and much more in Jesus' precious and matchless name. Amen.
Amen. Now, Daryl, before you do what you usually do, I'm going to take the honor, because you always get to do it. I'm going to introduce Professor Craig Hawkins to the listeners tonight, and for a special reason. Professor, are you there? PCH?
Hey, telephonically, it's great.
Oh, man! I knew I should have gotten there.
Now, the reason I wanted to do this a little differently is because, as many of you know from last week's show, we celebrated the birthday of our friend, our brother, our teammate, our brother in Christ, Brian Allen, who went home to be with the Lord. And tonight is a kind of a bittersweet, I guess we'd call it, celebration. Actually, tomorrow night will be the 1 year of him going home to be with the Lord. And we definitely wanted to mark that occasion. And Daryl, I think you're the one that said, I hope I don't get this wrong, because what you said had an impact on me. You said, joyfully jealous of
100%.
Brian. And 100%. That's to me, that's appropriate, because we miss him here, but we're jealous that he's up there with our Lord, and that's where we want to be. And I just wanted to mark, this occasion for me. Brian was my best friend. I miss him dearly. I know his wife, Araceli, is listening right now, and we spoke earlier this evening about marking this occasion. And I wanted to give you guys a chance to say whatever you have on your mind about this occasion.
PCH, why don't you go ahead? And that's excellent. When you said my little expression, I was thinking it simultaneously with what you're saying, Eric. So thank you for remembering it, brother.
Yeah, no. So it is bittersweet, the word that comes in my mind, because we miss Brian dearly. Such a great friend, such a great brother. I had the privilege of, knowing Brian, not as long as you guys, but, 28, almost 30 years, and worked with him 25 years with you guys on the broadcast. a week and a half, he'd just been back from going with us to Nepal, had a phenomenal almost 2 weeks with Brian, and just him and another, Brian, a young man, and they just had a great time. They were like long-lost brothers. And it was a lot of fun. But most importantly, great ministry. But Brian was just a real joy and always a delight to be around. Just a great brother, great man of God. You know, I don't say that about a lot of people. I've known a lot of Christian leaders, and some of them I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for. And some of them, if I never saw them again, sounds horrible, but I'd be okay. And not in the sense I don't want them to go to heaven, but I mean, if I don't see them here on earth, it's no big deal to me. But Brian was just a gentleman and just a great brother and friend, just all the years of ministry and time spent together, a lot of time, did a lot of things. And actually, no, really, it is the one-year anniversary because Brian got sick last September 3rd, a Saturday night, and he passed away, went on to be at the Lord Sunday. So if you waited till tomorrow night, that would actually be almost a day later, if you will. Technically, it was on the 3rd, I believe, the Saturday night that he got sick or wasn't feeling well, and then he passed away. Went home to be with the Lord last September 4th on Sunday. We found out Sunday morning. I just remember the shock. I still remember that guy. What are you joking? I mean, are you kidding me? I knew something was up because I believe Eric, you called me. And
yeah.
Eric's calling me. Why are you calling me? That's not good. I remember thinking that. And I still remember sitting down the steps to going upstairs to my part of my house, sitting down on the steps and going, shocked, like you're kidding me. I just can't believe it. It's not, you know, boy, Brian will do anything to get even with me. And, I'm a joker, as you guys well know. And so he's just getting even with me. He even enlisted Eric. I remember what I thought.
Oh, yeah.
He got Eric in on this. Man, that's really bad. wow. So, The bitter part is, yeah, we miss Brian. I'm selfish. I admit it. That I really believe having lost close loved ones. I mean, I understand it, but if we're honest, it's selfish. We it's always about us and our memories and our times and our well being and being with them. So I mean, I am envious in that sense, or jealous, if you will. I do miss Brian, but you got to think of all the conversations he's had. Could you imagine, besides talking to the Lord, I mean, of course, but could you imagine who he's talked to from the Old Testament and all friends and, you know, think of Walter Martin and all kinds of people. I can only imagine the conversations that Brian has had and the year that's transpired since this time, literally last year-ish, or almost, I should say. I mean, officially, he really didn't pass away until after the program ends tonight, but we'll be pretty close to that, but I can only imagine all the conversations he's had and how thrilling it's been. And we know that someday in Lord's timing, we're all going to join him. Should the Lord tarry, I mean, we're going to meet him and the Lord one way or the other in the second coming of Christ, and when Christ comes for us personally, our own, as we say, personal eschatology. So, anyway, it's been a tough year, a bittersweet year. I've definitely thought of Brian many, many, many times and noticed his absence, definitely. In fact, I was looking, I was looking at the last apologetic seminar that we did that Brian always put those together. That was Brian's effort. Brian was the one administratively who, besides teaching, but I mean, would line up all this speaking and work out the details, for example, with Core Church, with Pastor Steve, and get things all set up. That was Brian. In fact, I just came across the schedule for the last seminar that we did, and that was all Brian. And I just, wow, really, you know, brings it home of missing our brother in a selfish sense, missing him. And that I mean, I know it's better for him, but being selfish and wow, wish Brian was still here. And Lord, forgive me. I keep thinking, Lord, quit picking people like Brian, man. We need these are the good ones. Yeah, I got a list of people. I'd be happy if you take some of them. Feel free, Lord. Here, I'll give you my list. But no, come on, Brian. Seriously, we got work to do, Lord. You're not. You want us to do what? You're not helping me.
Wow.
And I got to tell you, okay, one last thing. And I, for now, I mean, and I was be all night. You know, I was just in Nepal, you know, a little over a month ago, and I, in India, and I was just definitely thinking, wow, last time I was here, August the previous year, Brian was with me. You know, we were together, and it just, that really hit home with me as well. So, yeah, a lot of memories, a lot of great memories. In fact, that's all I really have is good memories with Brian. I don't have one bad memory. I mean, we had to deal with some stuff that was difficult with other people, but never with Brian. We never had a cross word. I mean, Brian, and it's not because we didn't have controversial things to deal with. It just, to me, that Brian is just that type of a gracious person.
Yeah, something that hits a little closer to home with me is that Brian and I would carpool to the studio every Sunday night. So mm-hmm. every Sunday night now, I'm driving by myself and really missing him because I know we both really enjoyed those drives in and back from the studio. Even though when it was my turn to drive, Brian would take that opportunity to fall asleep on me in the car.
Oh, I know.
So I was driving by myself. But, I mean, it was really, really just – and we didn't necessarily talk about the show or anything. We just – like I said at the service, it was just a couple of goofballs, just, you know, being goofballs. And I really miss that, especially every Sunday night. So, it's hitting home to me that it's just so hard to believe it's been a year already.
Wow. Yes. Hero?
Oh, man. Just two words really stand out to me with my boy Brian. Fellowship. In sports, fellowship in sports, but also fellowship with, like Craig, you were saying, some very difficult things we had to deal with. Man, we always dealt with issues with the church and by the word ministries, other ministries, all the bad boys of radio stuff we had to deal with because we're not playing with the word of God. And that's one of the things I just so much love and do appreciate about Brian is that. He, you know, even though he had that little mild manner, you know, kind of, what was that voice, that guy's voice, that actor's voice they said he sounded like?
So that was Kevin Costner.
There we go. I don't know who he was, you know, but when they said it and I heard the guy, I said, yeah, he does kind of sound like him. And, you know, Brian reminded me that, you know, he used to do commercials and things like that. Still got a little residual check until I told him about my residual check that I got from doing with the number one show in the nation. So we used to bounce back and forth like that. And one of the things Brian loved, and I think the thing he's loved a lot, is how he knows, and I know, that he was a much better athlete on a whole different level than I was. But he knew that I would always compete, and he would love the idea that some incidents in the church league where I got the last second shot and I won the tournament over some guys that played on his level. And he knew a lot of the guys, and we never let those guys live that down. And he always would say, you let Easy beat you. And we got videotape on this one. I used to take that, Brian. I think Brian got that videotape and hid it from me. So, Ari, if you got that tape of that last second shot, I need to get that. And the guy that does the announcing, Michael Tinsley, he also suffered some brilliance of your old boy on the basketball court as well. On tape, too. And Brian and I and Brian's dad, Richie, we all of us used to deal with various sporting events. You know, Brian was actually in a boxing promoter. And if you didn't know it or not, Brian used to promote and go around the country promoting female boxers, Craig. I know you remember it, but just for the listening audience a little bit. And one of the things we deal with as men is when we're on the road and how you have difficult things to deal with in life, trying to put on promotion, being away from the family, everything like this. Brian knew that I traveled with the Trotters, so we had a very similar lifestyle at different times in our life. And we would always communicate with each other and just remind each other who we are in Christ. Because it was so important that even though we had some exciting things to do in that fellowship, the sports world, the bigger thing was who we are in Christ and how we're representing Christ. And, man, it wasn't one of those – Pharisaic type things with us. We always dealt with things and we do a lot of bantering, but we did some serious bantering because life is serious. We deal with issues of our families, issues of situations that we had to deal with. And Brian was always a brother that you can count on being in the trenches. Craig is as well. Don't get me wrong. We have a team that we've been through some things, Craig, and I think about some of those long meetings. And that's one of the things Brian and Craig don't like. I don't mind it because I'm double retired. Those long meetings when you got to deal with stuff, try not to make them so long. And Brian was very good at succinctly getting to the point. I don't know if he was like that on his papers he's supposed to do in your class, Craig, but he was definitely like that in those meetings, as you can attest to. But my dear brother, like I said, joyfully jealous of him, just really wish that he was here so that he can carry on with the various things I know the Lord had us to do together. But you know, Lord knows best. He allows us to have all the years that we've been together. 25, you just mentioned Craig with us, and over 30 years I've known Brian, and even going back before that, we knew of each other. And to know somebody that well, like you said, and not having any kind of really weird or awkward word, we had some good disagreements, but we know how to disagree agreeably. And that was the beauty of this ministry as we continue on doing it. So on behalf of Brian, and I'm going to tell you guys where we got that saying from, no matter where you're listening to in the world, no matter where you are, it's one of his sports program, some guy named Coward that comes on ESPN, and Brian used to use that expression when he opened up the show. And I said, I know where you got that from, man. Be original. Brian said, it is original on this show. And I said, okay, but you got me. And just miss that brother and love that brother for the fellowship, the sport, and also the dialogue between him, his dad, myself, on the long trips that we took to see his daughter play basketball and various things like that. So I just had a ball with the brother.
Well, Brian was competitive, but he lost a lot of that. And Eric talked about how Brian changed over the years, yes, in the sense of the edge. But I think of, you know, what Brian used to talk about, because my birthday is in August, and Brian's was in August, so I know Brian was, you know, born August 27th, mm-hmm, 1957. I always can remember pretty easily because we're just a year difference. Well, we were a year difference, I should say. And it was in August. And of course, then September 4th of last year, he went home to be with the Lord. But yeah, he was a great sports fan. In fact, Eric, we had tickets. We were going to go to another USC game.
Yes.
My son's into football, and has a good friend of his brother plays for USC. In fact, actually at that time, one of the coach's son was playing as well for USC, but he got drafted, actually went to the pros, played for San Francisco. But anyway, so it's kind of, you know, Brian, you know, the camaraderie in which enjoying sports, and I think of, you know, Damon Smith. Damon, of course, played, mm-hmm, USC as well, like Brian did, and so they were real USC fans, and it was just fun. I mean, we have the Lord, of course, in the commonality, most important in Christ, but to be able to enjoy other things. And Brian, of course, we joke around two things. He goes, yeah, I was All-American. He said, but so was everybody else I played against in college. So it's like, you know, who cares? It's like they're all All-American. Like, you know, but what does that mean? But he loved martial arts stuff as well. And he was always doing his Bruce Lee interpretation.
Wait, allow me to. His favorite line was, boards don't hit back.
Oh, yeah, he would wag his finger, yeah, like Bruce Lee. And yeah.
Hey, Craig, but don't you remember the time when we were talking about when you were playing softball back in the day and we were playing basketball and everything like that? And then we start playing horseshoes, and you had a little something to say about that when we showed some competitiveness at the church picnic and things like that when we played some very competitive horseshoes. We actually went out on basketball day when we used to play basketball and played horseshoes. And you reminded us that, oh, you guys are reduced down to that already? And I said, okay, just can't wait till his day come. And PC, when the last time you played competitive softball?
Well, it's been a while, but I still work out. That's the difference.
No, okay.
So, but no, I remember I'm glad you reminded me. Yeah. I had great sport at your guys' expense over there.
Yes, you did.
I'm like, horseshoes. Come on, guys.
Hey, we got video, you know, baby.
Next thing, it'll be wheelchair races around.
Oh, that was next. That was next.
Yeah, but not so soon. We want to hold that off for a while.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
Before we start with the regular show, I want to I'd be remiss if I didn't mention something. Now, Brian His family was his mom, dad, his older brother, and Brian. And we lost.
Richie, you mean?
Yeah, Richie. Mama Rose and Mr. Richie.
Yeah, we lost all of them except Richie's the only one left.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Ari, Brian's wife, today, and she said that I want to ask everyone if you keep Richie Allen in their prayers. Mm-hmm. He's going to have some surgery on his back, and he's having some issues with his eye, one of his eyes. So I want to just ask everyone to keep Richie Allen in their prayers and for the surgery to be successful. And whatever the issue is, I don't know exactly with his eyes. But, you know, he feels that he's the last one left in his family. And we want to uplift him as much as we can and keep him in our thoughts and prayers.
Well, yeah, Eric. In fact, before we get done with this, why don't you lead us in prayer for that, if you don't mind?
Sure. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to come before you to pray for our brother Richie, for Brian's brother Richie, and that we just lifting them up to you, Lord. And I don't know exactly what the procedure will have to be that he's going to have with his back and what is going on with his eye, but I know that you do, Father, and you are the one that we need to come to know that it will be taken care of in the way that it needs to be taken care of, and that we just let him know that we are with him. We are here with him, behind him, for him, Father, and that we trust you in all that you do in everything with Richie and with his, with just his missing his brother, missing his parents, Father, and just give him comfort. Just place your big loving arms around him and give him a big embrace, Father. And just pray for all these things in Jesus' holy name.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Brothers, I tell you, man, actually, we probably can do this and go on all day long. So why don't you guys give some closing thoughts, and then we can invite the people to join in, the other teammates. And if anybody want to mention something about Brian as you call in with your questions, just before your questions, please take the opportunity. And, you know, we had quite a few callers and listeners calling in and emailing us and things like that. And so just be respectful of the time and don't go on like we go on. Lead by example, huh, Daryl?
But anyway. Don't be like Daryl.
Yeah, don't be like me. I can take
what
it.
I was thinking.
I know you guys were. That's why I said it. You know, anyway. So give some closing thoughts that you guys may have on Brian, at least. For right now.
Craig, do you want to?
Well, two last things for me. One more lighthearted, then back to serious one. So Brian was, with his dad. His dad owned the gym, and then Brian had done a lot of boxing, promoting boxing, and we had joked for years that we're going to have a cage match because Darrell Hackett was with us for years, dear brother. He used to box, and I did martial arts, so we were going to have a cage match. Remember that?
Yeah. Woo! I still pay to see that.
yeah. So that was we had a lot of fun with that. Brian enjoyed that one, but it can sound funny to people. And I'm sure they think, oh, come on, okay, Ron's a nice guy, but he wasn't that nice. I've been in ministry full time since '85. I was involved in ministry since about a little after 78 or whatever. But, I mean, I've been full-time ministry since 85, coming up on 50 years. I mean, I've met a lot of leaders because I've done a lot of radio programs and TV and stuff. And, Brian was just one of the best brothers I've ever met in my life. I mean, again, I spent a lot of time with Brian over the years, and we were speaking. We did all kinds of stuff, the radio program. And there was a time we were down there every Sunday and for a number of hours and just did a lot of things together, a lot of things. And Brian took classes with me. As people might know, that's how I met Brian originally, was him and some others took classes with me when I was teaching at old Simon Greenleaf on apologetics. And anyways, met Brian, and we became friends and lasted ever since. But I don't have a bad thing to say. If someone said, well, find a fault, whatever. And it's like, well, why would I want to do that? But, I mean, Brian, I don't have any stories of like where maybe if I did, it would be on me. It'd be I lost my temper. I misunderstood something. I got angry. I I did something selfish or whatever. But I don't have one of those about Brian. I mean, he's not perfect. None of us are, only the Lord. But I don't have one bad story about Brian. And that's a long time friendship, and I can't name you one. And again, I spent a lot of time over the years with Brian, and always enjoyed his company, always enjoyed his input, and we'd strategize about the program and the ministry, and again, the apologetic seminars that we did over the years. We did a number of them, and he was always trying to get me over at Core Church. Pastor Steve, you need to have Craig back over. He's always up to that. Anyways, I have nothing but good memories. What a way to say it, nothing. But all I just great memories of Brian. That's what I want to leave with people, is a real man of God, a real man of integrity. And you're going to get to hang out and spend time with Brian in eternity, and you're going to enjoy it. You're going to see the delight that Eric and Daryl and I know that he was and that he is.
Amen.
Well, I got something, but go ahead, Eric. I'm gonna let you do, because you guys drove together all the time. I definitely got something, and I can simply say this: you never want to have Brian as a coach, nor do you want to have him if he's going against your team and he's a fan in the stands and his team is playing on the court. This is basketball in particular, and all I'll simply say this is, Brian was our coach when we had, like, my son, his cousin, and Richie was out there being 6'9 and shooting 30-footers. I'm underneath the board doing things. And Brian called a timeout. I'm going to say it this way, Craig. He wasn't singing the praises of the Lord on this particular timeout. He told us, if we don't want to play the way he suggested we play, why don't we all just leave and forfeit the game? Everybody's mouth just dropped wide open, because he is, like, you know, basically a mild-mannered dude. But boy, when he was coaching, he was upset at us. Now, not me, because I was underneath the bucket taking charge with my little short self. And while he got a 6'9 guard, his brother's shooting him 30-footers. And that's what he wasn't happy with. And I would simply say, and also one of the wonderful things is, when he's cheering for you, man, he's cheering for you. He is cheering for you. And you would want him to be your one stadium fan, because you would hear him. And that's two things I can say about Brian.
Well, there on Craig, I want to first thank our listeners for giving us this time to reminisce on him. We haven't had any phone calls yet, and I'm going to ask for you to call in just a few minutes. But one thing I wanted to say is that I knew a different Brian, because we knew each other. I don't even know if they still call it junior high school.
Somewhat.
We knew each other for about around junior
middle school,
high school.
Middle school. They call it middle school.
Middle school. Okay. Yeah, that's right. But we lived a block over, and he lived a block over and up from me. And even though we went to different schools, you know, being in the neighborhood, there was a local park that everybody went to. We played basketball and football and all that. And Brian, as we've mentioned, he was an all-star athlete. And as I mentioned before, there comes a certain attitude with all-star athletes sometimes, and not in a bad way. He always, like you said, a good guy, always a good guy, just a little cocky, a little arrogant. And through the years, we had kind of lost touch with each other, you know, between getting married, having kids and all that. And we actually connected with each other at Core Church again years later. And the Brian that I met at that time, it was a totally different guy, and it was obviously that it was from the Lord that just got a hold of his heart and just did a work on him. And again, like I say, he was never a bad guy. He was always a good guy, always, you know, cordial, polite and everything, but just a little cockiness to it. And just to see what the Lord did with him and continue to do all the way until.
Right. And of course, I see that as the BC days before Christ. And of course, I think, Daryl, when you're talking about your basketball, that was really, really, really early on as well. Now, what I guess I want to know is, did he ever harangue you guys about your horseshoe playing?
Let me put it this way. He was saved. We all were saved. We were just glorifying the Lord with what he gave us and doing the best we can with what we had. Let me just put it that way. But no, he was, you know, Brian, you know what? And very, very personal something. Brian and I used to strategize on our fathers. I had a good relationship with Brian's dad. Brian had a doggone good relationship with my dad. And we used to sick each other on our fathers. Because, you know, they raise us. And, they kind of be a little bit more, let's put it this way, stern with us than they are with other guys. But Brian used to talk with my dad, and I used to talk with his dad. And that's why his dad became like a second dad and my dad to him. And Brian used to always say, man, I love it when you talk to my dad because he listens to you like he doesn't listen to me. Mm. And I said, well, vice versa, brother, vice versa. And that was just some of the beautiful fellowship that I talked about before where we get, just beyond the sports thing and stuff like that, but it really get into each other's lives on a serious basis.
But on a non-serious basis, what was his nickname for you or the name that he called you or at least Brian's mom? What did she call you?
Oh, man, what is it? Other than Cookie Monster.
I can tell you.
I know it. Go ahead. Why don't you say it? Because it's more fun when somebody else say it.
Dizzy D.
Dizzy D. D. Yeah, instead of saying Easy D, it was Dizzy D. But you know what? Mama Rose, that was my girl. I have many videos and pictures with Mama Rose before she passed. And we shared one of her cookies. And that will turn out to be one of Brian's favorite pictures, if I understand. But yeah, that was the name. Yeah, you're welcome, Craig.
What's his name? Dizzy D?
Yes, Craig. We already said that very clear. You can run the tape back. We archive these shows. You can just listen to it. After the show is archived, Craig. Why do you keep asking the same question?
I can promise it will be on tape.
For sure.
If we have to, we will play it back.
I'm sure you guys will. But no, that's beautiful, man. It's just nice. And you know what? And the other thing, I'll give you another one, Craig. What was the favorite thing he used to say about us on the airplane and what I did on the airplane? Go ahead and tell one other Brian that he thought was the funniest thing in the world, and I was doing it for him. Because he likes a certain thing that you like quite often.
Mm-hmm. Ice cream.
Yes. And then, because you guys like ice cream. It was actually an ice cream cake for his birthday when we surprised him when we flew to Las Vegas. My wife and I were in the front, and Arian was in the back. And we got off first, and we had the cake and everything. So when he got off, he didn't know we was in the front of the plane. So we surprised him with that, and we had some of it left. So, I'm not going to let nothing go to waste like that from the country. So
How much ice cream did you have left?
No, it was ice cream cake and ice cream. So I brought it both on. I mean, I'm taking my full credit. It was quite a bit.
But how big was it?
Oh, it was like at least 2.5-3 gallons.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Next question, Your Honor.
Brian always said it was a bucket of ice cream.
Hey, yeah. It looked like a bucket. It looked like a bucket. You know what I'm saying?
And so, I would hear this story every other time we would drive to the studio.
You guys obviously were bored.
No, not at all. Especially when the story's about you.
Hey, but you know what? What is the number that people can call in since we're done with this episode or this segment?
Well, thank you for that, Daryl. Thank you for diverting the attention away from you. That number will be 888-995-5552. Once again, 888-995-5552.
What's the easy way for them to remember?
The easy way to remember it.
No, the dizzy way.
The dizzy.
What's the Dizzy D number?
888-995-KKLA.
And the other formats whereby you can join in on the conversation. Again, if you have a little story and everything about Brian, feel free to share it along with your question. We'll take those as well. At Bible Info Brokers for the various formats. And those formats are Facebook, email, tweet, messenger, and at our .com website. Gentlemen, I do want to make an announcement, though. I got a text asking for Messenger. No, it's a text from Sal, who runs our Bible study on a Wednesday night, so you can check that out on our website at Bible Info Brokers. And Sal just wanted to let us know. He sent us about an hour or so ago, and as Eric is answering those phone calls, good afternoon, it says Sal. I haven't been checking Julie's message. I'm sorry to give you the news that Julie, who was one of the members of the Bible study, and we prayed for her a couple of weeks ago and just last week, yeah. I believe, as well. Julie went on to be with the Lord on Saturday, July 29th, surrounded by me, her three children, the spouses, and their sister from Florida. It was amazingly peaceful, and she no longer needs to struggle to breathe. We look forward to seeing her again in heaven. And I want to thank Sal for being so diligent, being such a brother in the Lord, and sharing with us, and that the Lord gave her ultimate healing, ultimate peace, and went on to be with him and to join Brian, and maybe they can hook up and talk about the Bible study and everything they used to be on together. But I just wanted to share that with the listening audience. So continue to keep Julie's family, who are still with us. They'll know what their situation is with the Lord, but still keep them in your prayers for comfort. And then if anybody, anyone needs to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, pray that for not only her family, but for those in your own family and ours as well. PCH, what's on your mind before we start taking these calls? What else is on your mind as far as some Bible stuff? I have a few things, but I'm going to acquiesce to you first.
Well, I'll tell you, the last couple of weeks have been incredibly busy. I just had one thing after another. In fact, I'm probably going to pull almost an all-nighter tonight again. I got to get some bunch of things done. And it's perseverance. Perseverance is a key word to me that comes to mind. And a number of passages which talks about us doing well, not giving up, because we know in the due time we shall reap a reward if we do not give up. And I've always been more of a sprinter. I mean, I've liked more explosive sports like weightlifting and things like that, martial arts and like stuff I did. I was never a runner long distance. I didn't like it. Sorry, I'm supposed to do. But Christianity is a marathon. Christianity is not a sprint. It is a long distance run. And, you know, when it comes to family problems, family issues, suffering, I think of Julie had cancer and what she went through, and many people I've known who've died of cancer. And even if they're in remission now, but I mean, the suffering from chemo and radiation, and just, I thought, wow, these people are a lot braver than I am. I was like, oh, that's over with. That's fine. Check me out. I mean, but perseverance. I mean, trials come our way in life, and some of them go on and on and on and on. And we can pray for loved ones who are not walking with the Lord for years and years and years. And to me, it's about taking God seriously and encouraging, supporting one another, praying for one another. But this is for the long haul, and we're doing this in light of eternity. And so I want to encourage Christians who are struggling with maybe health issues, and sometimes something worse than your own health issues, as painful and as bothersome as that can be, is seeing a loved one who suffers, especially with something like cancer or some other serious medical issue. It's perseverance about praying and praying for that loved one, praying and praying for resolution, that God will right some wrong, some injustice. I was watching a thing today on C-SPAN, actually, while I was doing some other work, and it was on the stuff that happened in Kabul and what happened to those 13 soldiers and the families for over 2 years trying to get answers and to get justice and to get a straight answer from the government about what happened, really to get the government to own up that they messed up, and, you know, so on and so forth. I just thought the heartache and listening to those people pour their hearts out and the loved ones they've lost. And basically the only time this stuff's going to get righted is in eternity. And so I just want to encourage Christians to know, whatever you're going through, God knows, he does see, and he's not forsaken you. But Peter and so many of the New Testament writers, as well as the Old Testament, and then talking about perseverance, talking about fortitude, talking about not giving up, and to continue to seek God and ask for his will and his favor and his grace. And when things don't go our way, don't give up and don't assume God doesn't love you, doesn't care. Don't assume he doesn't hear. It's all coming before the Lord. He knows what's going on, but for various reasons, he allows things. And some of the things that he allows, I mean, if we're going to be blunt, some of the things are messes we made. We made the mess because of our sin and or foolishness or knuckleheadedness or nincompoopishness. We can make messes in our life. Sometimes it takes a lifetime to untangle that stuff. And sometimes it's not things we did. I'm not saying it all is. But we've got to see that God is gracious and good, and he will work out his will in our lives. And we need to persevere. We need to keep our eyes on God and not look at the circumstances, but on God who is in control. Don't ever assume just because things don't go the way the way you want them to go, when things don't happen the way you think they should, don't assume God's not in control, God doesn't care, or he's unfaithful. No, God's always faithful. Friend, I got to be honest, my friend. Last time I checked, the only one who's unfaithful is us. Mm-hmm. We're the ones who have been unfaithful to God. He's always faithful. He always can be counted on. And again, he doesn't do things in our timing. He doesn't do them when we think they should be done. But he's in control, and he does them in the perfect, the Greek, the kairos, the appointed time, the right time, the perfect time. At the kairos time, God works out his will. And it's often not on our time schedule, but we need to persevere and trust him and look to him and stay in the word, stay in fellowship, stay in prayer, and particularly in the Lord's Supper, that we might participate in the means of grace so that we can continue not only just to survive, but to thrive and grow in our most holy faith.
You know, and by doing so, what you're doing is you're building up the kingdom of God, even as you're living out this life that you just so articulately talked about, PCH, and recognizing, like even when I said in the prayer, that God, we need your help to do what we would do. Yes, you saved us, but you saved us not just to sit up here and just miss hell and go to heaven, but to do the various things you said, to persevere while we're still on this earth, to continue doing those things that would be not only just pleasing to the God, but honoring. And one of the biggest ways you can honor God, that when you're going through the various tribulations in life, we talked about this in church today from 1 Kings with Elijah dealing with what he had to deal with as far as Ahab, Jezebel, and how he dealt with the woman with the cruse of oil and everything, and how people trust God. And what way have you trusted God lately to whereby you know that you have to rely upon the Lord and it's not you? And that's one of the things I think with that perseverance you talked about, Craig, is so prevalent, man.
Yes. I'm with you, Daryl.
So, folks, here's what you can do. Stephanie, we're going to get to you. Jose, I see you calling in. If you want to join us with the broadcast tonight and ask a question so that we can learn and grow from your question, please, please, please call in at 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552 is the number. The other ways you can communicate your question to us, like I see Facebook now is nice. It's up and running. I got it together. Hey, I'm ready to receive your question that way through Facebook, through the email at our .com website, or through Truth Social, through Messenger, through Tweet. Please send those questions, and all the address is the same. All the addresses are the same for the various formats, and that's Bible Info Brokers. Bible Info Brokers. Please take an opportunity to get those questions in, and we do want to answer them from a biblical perspective. So Eric got some open lines. Please give him a call at 888-995-5552. Thank you very much. Stephanie, let me see if I can bring her up here. I see something going on with my machine here. Let me see if I can get it. There we go. Stephanie from Glendale, thanks for holding on and calling in.
Yes, okay. Today, during church time, we went over Daniel chapter 7. It's about his vision about, you know, future to come. The main thing that is that about the fourth beast, and later on it became the Antichrist. So I have a simple question. During the 7 years of the Great Tribulation, and the Antichrist came into picture during the halftime, about the 3.5 years left during the Great Tribulation. We learn about what he was going to do and all these things. My question is that all the things that happened during that time, I thought in the beginning that it was due to God's wrath to punish the world. But then, of course, the Antichrist was doing a lot of things too. He will be out to persecute and fight the things of God. So my question is: all the terrible things that happened during the last half of the tribulation, is it a combination of two things? The Antichrist doing all those things, or God's wrath sending different things to the earth? Or God is using Antichrist, you know, to punish the earth, the world. So that was my question.
Well, sure, Stephanie. That's a great question, and it's a very good one. But often it is both. It's always God. God is always in control. And I would use even examples. Let's say go back to Pharaoh at the time of Moses. Uh-huh. God poured out His wrath, but He often uses, well, pagans, He uses the demonic to do it. Even, I guess another example I could use is when God judged Israel various times. Think of David, when David got caught up in pride and was numbering his soldiers, potential soldiers, and it wasn't numbering that was wrong per se, but he was like, oh, wow, you know, what a great army I have, and taking pride in his army and not really looking to God. And God uses demonic at times, or like what they have, or God can use even an elect angel. So it's often both and. But God's the ultimate source. God's the ultimate cause, or at least allows things. But God uses even the devil to accomplish His will. So I think you hit the nail on the head. It's both of them. It is God's in control, and He is pouring out His wrath on an unbelieving and sinful and wicked world that has rejected Jesus Christ, has rejected the gospel, and has thrashed on God's people. That's the least of them, but certainly that they have. I mean, I try to watch a movie, and how many times they take, you know, Jesus' name in vain? And I'm always like, I mean, I don't hear you saying other people's names in vain. I mean, why is it always Jesus and what have you? So it's in the various examples, in the judgment of Israel, the judgment of other nations, what have you, it is the wrath of God many times, and specifically, but He uses human actors, even demonic spirits, and even the Antichrist to accomplish His will. And that's the irony, though. There's the irony. We think we're in control. We're doing it, or somebody else is doing it, so they think, oh, I'm in control. And God's like, no, you're not. I'm in control. I'm only allowing you to do this. And if I say you're done, then literally you're done.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Oh, our pleasure.
God bless you, Stephanie. Ladies and gentlemen, like Stephanie, you can call in right now. We have some open lines, 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552, and give us a call. And don't forget, if you want to drop a little you know, a little something about maybe your relationship with Brian, if you had one and you remember Brian. But we don't want to forget it. We're never going to forget our brother, so I don't have to worry about that. But just, this is special because it's been a year ago today that he was transitioning into the life that we are, as I say, so joyfully jealous of. Let's go right now to Jose in Los Angeles. Jose, thanks for holding on and calling in.
Yeah, hello?
Yes, Jose, you're with us. You're live on the air. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah. I want to congratulate you guys for this good show you guys got.
Thank you, sir. What's your question for the night?
And I've been hearing you guys since 2020, and you know, like, I remember Brian too. Also, like the thing that he said, that eternity is too long to be wrong.
Say that again. What did he say?
Eternity is too long to be wrong.
Brian used to say that.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for remembering, brother. No, I'm just messing with you, man. I just want you to say it again for the listening audience. Thank you, Jose.
Yeah. And like how he used to say, sometimes like the dumbest questions are the interesting ones.
Well, no, I think, how did he go, Craig? The dumbest questions are the ones that are never asked. Was that Brian's original saying, Craig, or did he get that from somebody? Did he plagiarize that?
I don't know.
Me either. But anyway, there you go, Jose. Hey, Jose, what is your questions? Because that way we know that you're getting your question in. What's your question for the night?
Yeah. My question is, you know how they say that the goat represents the enemy? And you know, like a lot of Mexican people like eat goat, like in birria, like is like goat good to eat, or is like is wrong? Like I want to know, like, from you guys' like perspective.
That's really dietary issues. I mean, we try to leave those with folks, you know, Jose. So I mean, that's really up to you, and you know, if you think it's good or healthy or whatever. I mean, I try to be careful. To me, it's a question. We call it prudence or wisdom. Eating certain things like pork sometimes can be, well, regular steak as well. I mean, cow, but can be very fatty, you know. So just to me, those are things we just want to be aware of, how healthy is it, if you will. There were certain foods that were prohibited in the Old Testament, but we believe a lot of that had to do with, unless they were cooked just right, there was the dangers of getting worms or other diseases from that food if it wasn't cooked properly. So for that matter, there's nothing wrong with it. That's between you and the Lord. If you enjoy that and want to eat that, that's really between you and God, and we just leave it there. Okay?
Right.
Okay, that's a question I have. Thank you, guys.
You're very welcome, Jose. Thanks for calling
in. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, just like Jose, just like Stephanie, you can call in. You can send us a message by our various platforms on the internet. But call in Eric right now while we're going to do some little business here right quick. But call Eric right now at 888-995-5552. Or as Eric says, if you want to remember it, it's 888-995-KKLA. You can call him right now. We have some open lines. Bible Info Brokers for the various platforms to send your question, especially on Facebook or Truth Social or Messenger. All those platforms have a share button. So if you're on those platforms, please, by all means, share with your contacts. I think that's how they say it. And that way it gets out all over the world. Like my dear friend Bird in Liberia listens in by this time because he's up at this time and he listened in last week. So I'm giving a shout out to folks all over the world. Please take an opportunity to share that you're listening to the Bible Information Brokers. And then that way it may be able to gain some knowledge to the questions that you call in and you send us by way of the social media so that we can get those questions asked and answered. So Bible Info Brokers for Facebook, email, tweet, messenger, our .com website, or even Truth Social at this time. PCH, let's take a look care of a little business. We are faith supported as far as from a financial standpoint. I was just sort of contributing to some various ministries that I care about and some of the places that I send the money to. And, you know, the first thing I look for is the way to not to get charged fees, because when ministries, it's cost of doing business, I understand. So I'm not being a cheapskate, folks. I'm just being trying to be as prudent as I can with the various things we have to be able to receive money, especially in ministries. We lost PCA some kind of way, if we could bring him back. I'm sure he'd think I dropped him, but I didn't touch anything. My hands were free, and we can bring Craig back. Oh, I love this. My hands was doing something else. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, when we're dealing with the idea of ministries that are faith-supported, we say that because it's by what people do. It's how God moves upon the hearts of those who are believers, and even folks who listen in that are unbelievers. Your money's going to spend the same. But we're trusting God to do whatever he's going to do and do it the way he would do it upon the hearts of people to support this ministry. So we're going to ask that you consider this. If you're benefiting from this ministry, by all means, please take an opportunity to consider giving. How much you give, that's between you and the Lord. What you give, how much you give, the way you give, we're going to give you some information so that you know how we receive the money, is because you're giving through us to promote the gospel and to do those various things. So what PCH now taking a quick break, and now he's back with us, no fault of my own. PCH, I'm just letting the people know how we're faith supported and how they can designate their giving when they give to us. If you let them know, we got about 4 minutes left at the top of the hour. Let them know how they can give. I let them know how they can execute that giving, and then we can go to the top of the hour break.
Well, thanks, Daryl. Yeah, in fact, it's pretty timely because I'm going to be meeting on a Zoom meeting with the Hmong and Pastor Brent Whitefield, our dear brother from India. By the way, a lot of persecution going on there now. I got an email info from some brothers in Nepal on how from extremist Hindus, they're persecuting, killing, and burning, killing Christians, burning down churches. Mm-hmm. And that's been going on in Myanmar, for example, one of the major states in India, what have you. So, you know, part of the way people, when they give, is it goes to support the things we're doing. And one of those is the TOT, the training of trainers. You can say, hey, I'd like so much, either all your donation or part of it, a percentage, to go to the training of trainers. And there we pay their travel, we pay their room and board, all their expenses, of course, no charges for the teaching, what have you, to train these, Christian leaders, pastors, Bible translators, and missionaries. And, we're able to do that because people are generous, because people here in the States send us funds, and we take the funds and we use them directly for this. Also for our overhead as well, we have very little overhead, relatively speaking, no salaries, no mortgage, building expenses, what have you. But we do have some, like the radio time and the website and its maintenance and what have you. But also we do support and pay, that is, at least pay the insurance premium for our dear brother, Brian's wife, who's Brian was faithful and as is Ari, and we've counted it a privilege to be able to pay for her and her health insurance policy. And you can designate, again, whether you want, you don't care and you don't say anything, it just goes into the general fund, the BIB fund, and if you designate it, then that amount, whether it's half, 33%, whatever, it goes to the part of the ministry that you designate it. And so God's faithful, God is good, but he works through his people, and it's vital we hear from you. I'm excited. I've been home for over a month and a half now, and I'm looking forward, though, to going back over to Cambodia, probably in December, January, and hoping at the latest, we were going to do October, but that doesn't quite work out, January, February, back over into India and Nepal and other places as well. But that's all made possible, training of Christian leaders, Bible translators, pastors, missionaries, because of the generosity of brothers and sisters here in the States. And so we want to encourage you, if you want to invest in eternity, again, you don't give, I'll use the phrase, we don't give to us, it's through us. It's not for us. We're not getting a salary. We're not taking money from this. The money goes where we say it goes. The money goes, that is, where you designate it, and then we say that's how we're going to expend it. You can take that to the bank.
Amen.
In a day and age of untrustworthiness and goofy stuff, I know we're up at time, Daryl, here, but you can be positive, and we give you the proof that your money, your funds go where we say they're going to go.
100%. And PCH, I'll just simply let the listening audience know this. If you're going to mail in anything to our ministry, anything at all, especially if you're going to send a donation and buy check, money order, or have your bank do it, simply write out on the envelope. It must say on the envelope, LBTW, or spell it out, Living by the Word, and send it to P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. I'll do it again, very important. On the envelope, it must say LBTW or Living by the Word, P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. And you know what? Because I hear the music and I don't want to just rush the other information, on the other side of the break, I'm going to give you another way that you can give if you're going to do it by internet. And it's very important that you stay tuned. Come back and we give you more information on the other side of this break. Gentlemen, welcome back to Living by the Word Ministries presentation of the Bible Information Brokers. My name is Daryl E. Fulton with Professor Craig Hawkins. I call him PCH, and he's telephonically with us. And Eric is ready to receive your phone calls. If you would call him right now, you can join Doug and Angela, who's in the queue, ready to receive your phone call. It's Eric. Call him right now at 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. All the other formats is Facebook, email, tweet, messenger, Truth Social, and that website.com website is Bible Info Brokers. Matter of fact, all the addresses I just named are Bible Info Brokers on the various formats. And when you get to those formats, those platforms that you use, please click the share button that you're listening to Bible Information Brokers and share it with your whole cyberspace family. And we appreciate that in advance. That's a good way to spread the news about this broadcast, and you can join us. Now, before we went to the break, I was given information about how you can take care of the giving as far as executing the giving, and I want to get right back to that to let you know, very importantly, that we do appreciate 100% your gifts. The thing that we emphasize, and I'm going to give you the address again, the thing we emphasize is please, please, please don't take away from the ministry whereby you are exercising your spiritual gift. You have a pastor there. You have buildings to take care of. You have all those various things that your money go to that ministry and where you're exercising your spiritual gift, I trust and pray, and your fellowship there. So please, please, please don't take away from any of that money. But if you have extra, please, 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 and let the Lord determine between you and him, because you are a steward of all that is God's, so that how you can support this broadcast, as Craig gave you instructions on the other side of the break. Here again, if you're going to mail anything, the check and the envelope must read LBTW, or Living by the Word, and then the envelope, write it out to P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. If you have access to the internet, all that information is on our internet page, but while you're on the internet, you want to give by way of internet, you can just simply go to support and donate the icon on our website, BibleInfoBrokers.com. BibleInfoBrokers.com. Click support and donate. Follow the simple instructions, and you can give by monthly subscription, they call it, which is recurring, or you can also give on a one-time basis. The amount is between you and the Lord. We appreciate whatever you give, but prayerfully consider it and be generous. Be very generous with the Lord's money. Now, my preferred method to give is simply this. Save all the fees. Make sure the ministries that not only this one, but the other ones you give to. If you can give to our ministry by Zelle, that's 100% of the fees. If you give the other way, then it charges a fee. But you know what? If you give by Zelle, we get 100% of the fees. And that email address is the same that we use for the support and donate button. But if you don't see it, here it is. It's livebyword@AOL.com. Those of you that have been given by Zelle, God bless you. I appreciate you 100%. That's, again, livebyword@AOL.com for the giving. And we thank you in advance for that. PCH, before we took a break, we were dealing with some questions on Facebook. Well, we haven't got to the Facebook question yet, but I'm going to deal with that one right now, right quick. Douglas and Angela, hold on for a second, but Timothy kind of deals with a question that we was talking about earlier when we were reminiscing over Bob Ryan. And Timothy asks a very interesting question. I find it interesting. And he says, when we get to heaven, are we even going to care about having our questions answered? I almost get the implication is that somehow he's saying in that that maybe we're going to know all these things that we don't have questions about immediately. Some kind of way I get that feeling that's what he said. If it's not what you meant, Timothy, then elaborate a little bit in your question. But that's the question, PCH. When we get to heaven, are we going to care about having our questions answered?
Well, that's fair enough. And can I say definitively, well, no, we're going to still care. Well, no. And it could be that we're so overwhelmed by heaven and the joy and the glory of God and just everything. I mean, that it just it doesn't matter anymore. That is possible. I mean, and humanly we've seen that happen where people thought about something and they thought it really matters, and then something happens and they, well, it doesn't really matter that much now. And I want to come back to that more so in just a moment, but, you know, some people, they suffer quite a bit in this life, and some of us, I mean, I don't expect to have a worse memory than I do in this life, and I have a pretty, by the grace of God, a pretty decent memory, and some things really matter, and some real tragedies have happened to my family and friends and loved ones, and so is it possible? Can I prove that it's, I'm going to even care when I get to heaven? No, I can't. But my money, if I'm in the bed, man, I'm going to say, no, we're still, some things maybe you're going to melt into insignificance, but some things are really matter. Some people were murdered, horrible things happened to them, and I don't see anything wrong with, you know, if asking, Lord, would you, Lord, why did that happen, or, you know, what have you, something like that, why did you allow it? I mean, I know why it happens, because I'm a sinner, and so are you. We're sinners, and we think we're not all that bad. Well, look, somebody's is responsible for all the bad, and it is individually and collectively, all of us. But I don't see God. I mean, when my kids were younger, I didn't go get mad at them for asking good, insightful questions if I was able to help them. And I'm like, oh, why you ask them that? Who cares? I think it's kind of, I'm going to use a word, I'm going to be careful, but simplistic. There's nothing wrong with wanting to know, especially when there's been great hardships. I'll just give one quick example. Look at James, the half-brother, James, the brother of John, and look at Peter. James goes to jail, and he gets killed. He's killed. And yet Peter, the Lord delivers him. No, he delivers him. He sends an angel. He supernaturally delivers him. It wasn't just like he got a reprieve or a reduced sentence or something like, a pardon, what have an executive or imperial pardon, whatever you want to call it. If either one of them, either Peter or James or anybody else, would say, Lord, why did you do that? I'm just curious. I just want to know, Lord. I mean, if you'd be choose to reveal that to me. I don't see any problem with that, and I think it's pretty normal and natural to ask those type of questions. Now, it may be we're so overwhelmed that those things just fade into oblivion, into insignificance. But if they don't, I won't be surprised. And I think people like me are still going to, hey, Lord, I saw this question. Do you mind? And of course, it's up to him whether he wants to answer it or not. I think most of them, I think the Lord's going to be more than happy to answer, because he's good, he's gracious. He isn't like, again, I don't treat my kids like that. Whoa, what? Don't ask me questions like that. That's just unhealthy. Of course, the biggest thing, Darrell, the biggest question is really about one's eternal destiny. Because some people are going to be dealing with questions because they're not going to be with Christ.
Yes,
and my friend, that is no minor issue. To miss out on eternity with the Lord, this life and the next life, that you need to repent, which means a change of mind, change of heart, to change directions. You need to ask for forgiveness from God because you're imperfect. And here's what I know. I've watched a few TV specials this week, Darrell. I was kind of out. I worked an awful lot, again, the last couple of weeks. I think I mentioned that. And I was just fried, and I was watching some stuff on football and, championship teams and all that and championship players. And I don't want to begrudge that. I don't want to, I can't, these guys do what I never could do. So I don't want to sound like, oh, anybody could do that. I mean, these guys are phenomenal athletes, high school, collegiate, level. But at the end of the day, who cares? Who won the championship in 1950, And so we might even say in 2023 or 24. Well, 50, 100 years from now, most people aren't going to care. They're not going to remember. It doesn't matter. The things we put our hopes and dreams in, the things we think matter the most, are at the end of the day kind of empty, kind of vacuous, we would say. Again, I'm not knocking it, and I appreciate great talent and ability, but if you're living for that, for fame, fortune, for achievements, athletic prowess. I mean, here's what I know. I'm not that old, but I'm in my mid-60s, and, man, it ain't like it used to be. Bad grammar, good point. I mean, I go to the gym. It's like, wow, it's payday every day. nothing's like it used to be. Things don't work like they used to. Much more injuries more frequently. Takes longer to heal, what have you. Look, there's only one thing worth living for in light of eternity. And as our dear brother Brian used to say, indeed, eternity is too long to be wrong. Yeah, absolutely. And it's about knowing and having a personal relationship with God, trusting in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, investing in eternity. Because you could own hotels, and you can own skyscrapers, what have you. And when you die, you're not taking any of that with you. But the Christian who invests in eternity, the good works, the things, the funds we invest into God's kingdom, we're not saved because of that. That didn't get us saved. That doesn't keep us saved. But that is an investment for eternity, and that it will never go away, that never fades, that can't be stolen, can't be misappropriated, lost, misplaced, none of that stuff. My friend, life and that more abundantly, bottom line, is trusting in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, believing on Him and Him alone. Salvation means deliverance. Deliverance from what? You're going to face the true and living God and be judged for all eternity. Oh, that's from what? The Supreme Court of the universe, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get right with God. Today is the day to ask for forgiveness. Because you're not even promised a minute from now, 5 minutes, 10, an hour, a day, a week, a month, a year, a decade. Who says you're going to be here?
We've all known people, and sometimes I remember in my teens and earlier before that, and every decade I've hit, lost more and more friends. You know what? People perish. People die. You're going to die. Last time I checked, death and taxes unavoidable. One per customer. Should the Lord tarry, you're not getting out of here alive. You're going out in some type of box or urn or what have you. That's the negative quote news. The good news is trust in Jesus Christ. Believe on him. Trust in him alone for eternal life. Because life is hard enough. You literally want to have all of eternity to be separated from God. Life, and that more abundantly, right here, right now, is in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You, my friend, need to trust in him and him alone for eternal life, which begins right now.
Amen. You want to join in the broadcast, get your questions asked and answered, call Eric right now. I have a few open lines, 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. All the other formats to send your question in is Bible Info Brokers, the address for Facebook, email, tweet, messenger, or .com website for that email, and also Truth Social. You know, PCH, we were answering Timothy's question before we did the gospel message, and something that came to my mind, and so I don't know if it's relevant to Timothy's question or not, about not caring if we have our questions answered. And again, I don't know which way his mind was working, because my mind went to, are we going to know everything? Are we going to, you know, be like him? So we're going to know a whole lot more. All the things that we had questions about, they're going to get answered instantaneously. They're going to be on our mind, or however it works out. But I was thinking about in the question from last week, tying it in about the new heaven and the new earth, and in Revelations 21, and something came to mind, or in verse 4, it says, he will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither should there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Tying that particular verse and that whole pericope of scripture there that deals with this, the new heaven and new earth, and kind of what Timothy's question, so if we're not going to have any more pain, all the tears are going to be wiped away. And it seemed like it's almost like getting a clean slate, as it were. And I don't know, from the memory standpoint, it doesn't answer the question that way. But at least from the standpoint of remembering some horrific things, those things will be wiped away, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, sure, but people seem like, well, God won't bring up anything negative. Well, in eternity, it appears he's not going to, because there'll be nothing to bring up. But I think there's a day of reckoning for many things for believers. Of course, the non-Christian, that doesn't apply to you. They're going to be judged. Correct. Basically, it works like this, in essence. You didn't trust in Christ. In fact, you probably mocked him and made fun of the Lord himself. Used his name as a swear word, or his title, at least. Not the only time you called on God was when you were cussing. By the way, I just find that so disgusting. It's not like, oh, my virgin ears. It's like, really, is that the extent of your vocabulary? Do you think cuss words are conjunctions? I mean, who taught you how to speak? I remember my dad. My dad is still alive. He's gone 96. He's 95 now.
Wow.
My dad was a drill instructor. He's one tough bird. And my dad used to say, if you have to talk like that, you're not much of a man. My dad had no patience. My dad was a man's man, is a man's man, was. And, you know, lived through the end of World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. And he didn't mess with my dad. Let me just put it that way. My dad was not into cussing. He just thought that just proved you were really kind of a mental midget. And it didn't speak much for you. But there are things that have happened and we've done, and I think we're going to be, so the non-Christian is going to be judged. Again, the standard is Christ. You think you're perfect? You're as good as my son Jesus? Let's measure you up, see how you do. And if you don't, then you're going to a crisis eternity. And for the believer, God forgives us, but there's things we've never confessed. And of course there's sins, but I mean, there's major sins that some people have never owned. And I think God's going to, just like my kids, I love my kids, but when one of my kids would hurt one, you know, physically, verbally, or otherwise, I mean, I'm not putting up with that. I love all of them, but you don't treat, you know, not just your brothers or sisters that way. You don't treat anybody that way. So I think there's going to be some things we need to confess. I think there's some things we thought we're earning a reward for, and God's like, reward? You just be glad I don't spank you right now. You don't get a reward. What are you talking about? You were so selfish for the reason you did that. And, you know, so there's sins we never owned. There's things we did to one another we never owned up. And I think there's going to be a time of reckoning for the believer, again, not for salvation. That's a gift of God. But for sanctification, to make things right among the family is, no, you did your brother dirty. You did your sister wrong. Mm. You need to apologize. You need to confess for your sake, and you owe them an apology. And I think there is going to be some tears on that part. And then once that's done, okay, then it's taken away. But I think when we get up in heaven and we're at the Bema seat, I talked about in 2 Corinthians 5, particularly verses 8, 9, and 10, I think a whole lot of us, including yours truly, are going to be sorry for some things and go, whoops, Lord, I'm asking for forgiveness of that. In Christ, I never owned that. I didn't see that as being wrong, or I rationalized it, or I was just mean. I just did it. I never apologized. I'm going to have to ask for forgiveness.
Ergo the tears.
We'll have some sorrow. Yeah.
Well, no, there ergo the tears. I'm looking at it, and I'm reading it again. I'm saying, you know what? How can he wipe away tears if there's no tearful moment? So all the things that you just mentioned, all the tearful moments, and this is going on in the new heaven and new earth. So if it's going on during this time, then it must be some reminder of this negative stuff that happened in our life. I'm being nice by saying negative.
It's well, just, you are, Daryl. Yeah.
Being very nice.
It's like watching kids and how mean kids can be. We're adults, or even worse.
Yes.
I mean, look at some of the stuff the kids do to each other, and the names they call them, and shaming them, and all the horrible things that happen. And I think as adults, we're the bigger brats. We're the bigger kids. We do that, the bullies. And I think there's going to be a whole lot of boo-hoo and of like, wow, man, that was really bad. God, I'm asking for forgiveness. Or we see that was done to somebody else, and it brings tears to our eyes how they were mistreated.
And how we sat back and didn't say anything. I mean, you can just think of so many countless things that we do when we measure ourselves rightly, not by each other's standard. Because you're not the standard. I'm certainly not the standard, because it's almost like trying to do one-upsmanship on the craziest things we have done. No need. We've done enough crazy things in our own life that God's going to deal with it, both that we did externally and also internally from the heart, and even with the things we did that looked like they were good. What was our motivation? And we talk about that all the time. What is the motivation for what you even doing? The good things that look like it's good. Anyway, enough of that before I start crying now, and I have to wipe my own tears. 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552 is the number. Call in. Eric, here to receive your phone call. So let's go through these phone calls. So Randy, hang in there. Angela, we're going to get to you as well. But let's go first to Doug. And if you notice, Ozzy, I'm not made a mistake yet as I click. Welcome, Doug, to the broadcast from Los Angeles.
Thank you. I'll have two items. First thing
Wait, first, Doug, let me interrupt you. First, Doug, first, Doug. Doug, can you hear me? He's not going to listen. Okay.
.org, which subsidizes the housing of families of fallen first responders.
Oh, I'm sorry, Doug. I was talking over you, and I apologize. I just haven't heard your voice for a while. I just want to say welcome back. But what is your question again, Doug, please?
Two items. The first one is, does Brian's widow know about tunnels2tower.org?
I think she does, but we'll make sure that she knows about that. And what's your other point?
Well, tunnels2towers.org is T, the number 2,
right.
T.org, and it subsidizes the housing of families of fallen first responders. Second item is, I missed the beginning of the show. So how did Brian pass away on September the 4th?
PCH.
Yeah, I think yeah. Thanks, Doug. Again, it's been a while since I've heard from you. Thank you. Brother, yeah. We're, as far as I know, they're not sure. They never. I don't believe they did an autopsy. I mean, he did have diabetes, and it may have been from that. But I'm not sure, and I'm not sure that they really ever actually traced it down. I you know, there is things like what's called a diabetic coma, where if someone doesn't get insulin, they just literally go to sleep and don't wake up. You know, people pass out. This happens in the car sometimes. They're driving and they. you know, that in a car wreck, and it's not because they're drunk or high on drugs or anything. It's sometimes it's a form of a diabetic coma, their blood sugar level. So I think it has something to do with diabetes, but I'm not quite sure, to be honest, Doug. That's one of the questions I want to know.
I can speak on it now. Eric just sent me a note in saying that Eric said it was a heart attack. In regards to that, so a heart attack, but the complications can obviously come from the things that you mentioned as well.
Oh, yeah.
But the long story short, it's a heart attack, and all the various tests and everything I'm doing with my doctors, I can see how these various things can and how your heart works with all the rest of your body, obviously. But the bottom line, if the heart does its thing at that last moment, it's the same thing that happened to one of my dear brothers when I was in Tokyo, China. And my dear brother Walt had passed away right in front of us. And it was because of a deep vein thrombosis, you know, and that it goes up there. And my dear partner Billy Ray, who was a globetrotter, and my buddy that I played tennis with, died on a tennis court. And he was 6'8", 2% body fat, and he died of a massive heart attack as well. On the tennis court, and that man was in. You're talking about shape. That man taught NBA players how to be in shape, and his wife was a nurse. I mean, I'm just reflecting back over some of my good friends and people I love and love their families to this day, how they passed away, and it seemed like that's a pretty common thing there. And Eric straightened us out and said it was a heart attack.
I'll repeat the website. It's T2T.org.
Got you on that, Doug. Really appreciate that, but appreciate you, Doug. God bless, man. 888-995-5552 is the number. 888-995-5552. Angela, why don't you call back in so we can get your questions answered about the books. I think Angela was asking about books that you may have mentioned last week, Craig, and I don't know which one specifically on the subject matter, but I don't know if you recall the books that you mentioned last week. If you do remember some, then you can mention them again. If not, then Angela, why don't you either listen to the broadcast last week on the archive show or call back in and we can get specifically what you're asking about. But right now, let's go back to the phones. After I give the phone number of 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552, please call in. This is Reminiscing on Brian Day, as it was, and the various things we have. So please call in, 888-995-5552. Whether you have a question, whether you have a thought about Brian, you want to have a little reminiscing time, we're all about that today, being a one-year anniversary of his transitioning, Craig, if I could use that word, into the place that I am so jealous of. Anyway, let's go to our buddy Randy in Tustin. Randy, thanks for holding on and calling in.
How you doing, guys?
All right, brother. How are you, sir?
Good, good. TCH, praying for you always and forever.
Thanks, bro. Oh, I appreciate that.
Easy D.
That's Dizzy to you, brother. That's Dizzy D to you.
Okay. All right.
I want to do that. See, I always taught my kids this, Randy, that if you take the steam away, you can laugh at yourself bigger than what they can laugh, people lose their power. I'm just playing with you. Go ahead. It is true,
exactly.
Though. It is true.
Exactly. You know, when you were telling that story about how you used to talk to his father and he used to talk to your father.
Yeah, man.
You know, I grew up in a neighborhood in Compton where we had that kind of relationship. And when you broached the idea of what he used to call you, and you had was the pastor, the PCH said, "Well, I'm gonna let you tell it," or whatever one of you guys said.
Yeah.
And you know, I had a relationship like that. The father that I used to talk to, my across the street neighbor, used to call me O'Malley.
Uh-huh.
We still am a diehard Dodger fan. And when they traded Willie Davis and got Manny Mota and traded Marty Wills, he called me over, 9 years old, 10 years, 11 years old. Say, O'Malley, what do you think about the movie? that's not what I called about. I called in commemorate and honor Brian, who I met several times. Okay, wouldn't say that I knew him well, not nearly as well as you two did working with him. But it ties in because I've heard you. I've been listening to you guys ever since your inception. Okay. Well, I knew Michael Tinsley, as a matter of fact.
Wow, that's my guy. Yeah.
Back in 95, 96, close to 2000. Okay. Mm. I actually met Brian. I had him meet me at Victoria Golf Course. Okay. To sign up for prepaid legal. 2002 or 2003. Okay.
The story sounds familiar, yeah. Man, because Brian shared that with me because he knew I was into the golf. I was getting into golf around that time.
Uh-huh.
And I think that story sounds very familiar. But go ahead, brother.
And I've talked with you on the air about this before. But, you know, I hear you talk every week about the golf ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And it just dawned on me. I don't connect dots real well. I never have, okay? Probably never will. I'm 70 years old now. But I just connected the dots maybe a month ago. I'm an avid golfer. I played golf every day from 1982 to 2000, okay? To 2002.
Take all the time you want, brother. Take all the time you want.
But anyway, I started a baseball ministry, okay? Softball ministry, baseball ministry. I played a little baseball, and now I play softball on four different local teams and two national teams. For the SSUSA.
All right.
And I don't know exactly how. I hear you talk about this ministry. I just thought we should touch base.
Oh, we will. Cause I'm gonna put you on hold after you're through and have you talk with Eric, and I'll get your number.
Good. Because everybody now knows that I'm a Christian. I listen to KKLA, J. Vernon McGee. Sometimes we play 9 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm there. I listen to him while I'm up the bat. And they say, "Who is that?" And some of them have come up to me and, you know, in secret and said, "Hey, I used to listen to J. Vernon McGee 20 years ago, wow. On my way to work," you know, and this kind of stuff. And some of them are open with their Christianity too.
Yeah.
But I can imagine that that golf thing would. We like I say, we should touch base and see how it
we will, because it's more than just golf now. It's and I'll just simply say this: some people helped me decide on going with the terminology of double ambassador, because technically that's what we are. We're ambassador for Christ, and you're an ambassador in softball. Craig's an ambassador in horseshoes. When you said you play horseshoes now, Craig? I'm sorry. Whatever Craig is playing, sport. He's working out the gym, banging all that iron, so he's an ambassador in there. And we're ambassador wherever we go. And so technically speaking, we are a double ambassador, even though technically we are really an ambassador for Christ, living our life before people, lost and dying world.
More than technically, biblically, scripturally,
we're
ambassadors of Christ.
Absolutely.
And I was an ambassador at Victoria. That's why I had Brian meet me there.
Yeah.
Okay, before my trip, and we signed up.
Wow.
And I'm gonna tease Pastor PCH.
Please do. Take your time too. Take your time doing it.
you say he's ambassador of horseshoes. Is that a sissy sport or what?
No, I was just being facetious because he's going to say, "Oh, no, that's not mine."
I sure am, because I know this brother knows taekwondo and karate and karate and all that.
And that's why he doesn't play horseshoes, because he doesn't have that finesse that we have.
Girl, you keep telling yourself that.
I have no problem, man. Hey, Randy, man. Randy, that is a great, great memory, man. I'm going to put you on hold, and please give the information over to Eric, and I'll definitely contact you myself about this double ambassador, because it's a very serious thing coming up real soon.
Yeah, and one thing more before I go. I know you like good music, and I got a connection there. I got a band that does Motown music, the music that we grew up to. So man, I'll give him all that information.
Appreciate you, brother. God bless you, man.
All right, bro.
Now, see, Craig, see how that works out. I remember this story, man. I remember when Brian told me about it. He met a brother up there because he was just talking about the, you know, going to a golf course, which he really didn't do but one or two times with me. And then he said he was meeting somebody to sign him up. I remember that. That was Randy.
Yes, I remember Randy's call before, and I had a chuckle because when someone says, "Well, I've listened to you since your guys' inception," well, if he's 70, then he's old enough that he could have done that.
Yeah, I think he has.
He's been on for a long time now, so you know, it's getting any more. I mean, you know, I've been. It's like teaching. I've been teaching longer than many of my students.
Yeah.
Have been alive. So, anyways, but yeah, if he's 70, he's earned that. So
indeed. Well, Craig, since he's been listening all that time, then he knows specifically that about this time we need to let the people know how they can keep us on the air, and if the Lord tarries and we're still here breathing, and the Lord would have us to do this, that we might be on 20, whatever, some more. Well, let's put it this way, 5 more years at least. And we do need to hear from people financially so we can take care of our obligations.
Well, absolutely, Daryl. And I'll, you know, I mean, I don't mean to make it light of it, but as serious as a heart attack,
yes,
about
indeed.
Raising funds to go back to India and Nepal and other places we go to continue training pastors, Christian leaders, Bible translators, and missionaries. I mean, does it get better than that? And mm-hmm. some of them literally... they're like Deepak, Surendra, Prakash, and others that we're working with are going to unreached people groups. Never had the gospel before. People never had or seen a Bible. I mean, I don't know what gets people excited. I mean, I don't begrudge people being a fanatic for their favorite, you know, baseball team, the Dodgers, or, you know, basketball teams or football, of course, right now. But I get excited about the gospel and training Christian pastors, leaders, missionaries, and Bible translators, and people can be a part of that with your donations as you give through this ministry. It goes either to help pay the radio expenses and the overhead, which is minimal, things like literally just maintaining the website. We help pay for the health insurance for Brian's widow, Ari, and that's important to us, and also the TOT training of trainers. And yeah, I admit it. Unabashedly, I'm an apologist for raising funds. So first and foremost, for prayer. If it doesn't generally have to, but if it came down between you're going to pray for us faithfully or you're going to give financially, we'll take your prayers because I just know the God's mightily at work. I just got to tell you quickly, Daryl, this has happened before. Last time, I have some stomach issues, getting a little older here, and some mm-hmm. stomach things. No big deal, as far as I know. But I get some pretty serious indigestion, and I'd ask people to pray for me, like when I was over in India and Nepal, pray for my health. And I feel like, man, I'm going to go over there and stay more often and have people pray more often for that, because I hadn't felt that good, and I don't know how long.
Wow.
I had minimal stomach issues. It was just phenomenal. And that may seem minor to someone, but it's the point to me of the faithfulness of God. But look, get to the point here. That we do covet your prayers, number one, not your funds, but your prayers. But if you're able and you believe in what we're doing, then we do, yeah. I'm trying to raise funds, seriously, so I can get back over to India, Nepal, and train more pastors, Christian leaders, Bible translators, and missionaries. Absolutely. I'm unabashedly, non-apologetic about that. I want to have as much funds as possible to fund these guys for their training, paying the room and board, their flight, or the travels, whatever that may be, train, you know, car, what have you, and provide all their food and lodging so they can get the training, so we can continue to further equip them for the phenomenal ministries God has already given them. I mean, I just got a word from some brothers up in Nepal. There's been a lot of radical persecution of Christians by radical Hindus. And I'm talking about killing them mm-hmm. and burning down their churches, like we have this problem in Myanmar, in one state in India. Well, it's in other states as well, but it's probably the worst right now in Myanmar, where it's Manipur, excuse me. Myanmar's in old Burma. Manipur, a state in northeast India. Look, we want to encourage these brothers like Ranjit and their families and sisters, and we need the finances to do that, to help them, to aid them. I don't mind telling you, we left money with Ranjit, gave him funds because the brother had to flee for his life,
yeah.
Moved out of Manipur and go down to Kerala, the very southwestern corner of India, because they were going to kill him. He's a Mete, and Metes are predominantly Hindu, and he's converted to Christ, and not only has he come to Christ, but he's a pastor. guy speaks like 12 languages. The guy's phenomenal. He's one of the brightest people I've ever met and one of the greatest hearts for the Lord. That guy needs support, financially and otherwise, prayerfully, and we aim to give it to him. But we need you to partner with us so we can do just that. So you hear sometimes a phrase, got to be careful, a war chest. Well, we're not given to political causes here, but we are raising funds to bless our brothers and sisters in India and Nepal and Bhutan and Myanmar and you know, Burma, if you will, and other places as well, Bangladesh. And you make that possible. We do that together. So if you believe in what we're doing, and I'm getting long-winded here again, Daryl's going to tell you how you can do that. And we're very strict about our accountability and about having the proof of this is what you guys gave us and this is what we did with the funds. We're real serious about that because we believe in accountability and transparency. And accountability and transparency isn't saying those words. It's doing those concepts. That's what we're all about. But Daryl, if people do want to donate, how can they do that?
You know, very simply, PCH. And here's the thing. Before I even let you know about the donation, I want you to know from Ari. Ari communicated on our Facebook page, thanks to everybody, not only for the reminiscing and the support and everything, just for the love that everybody is supporting her with. So if you don't have Facebook, you wouldn't know that. So I'm letting you know that right now, that not only with the donations, but also with all that you think about our dear husband and during this time, you can imagine what she's going through, or maybe you can't even imagine. But she wants to say, and she has said, at least on Facebook, and I want to take the opportunity to say on her behalf and her whole family, all the kids and everyone, and Richie in particular, we pray for Richie earlier, Brian's older brother. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the love and the support. Now, Craig gave you the information about how and why. I mean, the why is so important for you to give. And again, pray, give, then pray for us. Lord will take care of us. I'm going to ask that you consider this. Give generously. Give generously. By doing so, I can guarantee you this. You give generously with a proper heart attitude, then you watch how God works that out in your life. Not only this life, but the life to come. Simply mail your check, envelope written out to LBTW. It must have LBTW or Living by the Word on the envelope so the post office won't send it back to you. LBTW or Living by the Word, P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. Once again, please write the envelope out to LBTW, Living by the Word, P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. The check, the money order, if you have your bank do it, give them that information. And also you can write the check out to the same, LBTW, or Living by the Word. If you're going to go online, you can get online to our website at BibleInfoBrokers.com. Click support and donate icon. Follow the instructions and give accordingly. I suggest, because I'm into these fees and saving them and having all the money go to the ministry as you're giving your generous gift, can you zeal it? And if you zeal it, here's the email address, livebyword@aol.com. That's livebyword@aol.com, and we'll be able to receive that Zelle donation 100%. Thank you, thank you, thank you in advance, especially for the folks that's going to be, that you are vicariously giving through us to spread the gospel of places that you cannot even go. Craig can even go all the way into the places he talked about. God bless you in advance, and we appreciate you. Now, PCH, we only have about another 15 minutes left in this particular broadcast. And again, this is sort of like reminisce on Brian Knight. And also, if you have questions and you want to get your questions asked and answered, by all means, call us. We do have these open lines. Eric is, chomping at the bits to receive your phone call. The last 15 minutes or so in the broadcast, 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. All the other formats, I'm looking at them now, Facebook, email, and a .com website, Tweet, Truth Social, and what else do we have here? We have Messenger. Yeah, you can send those questions by those methods as well, Bible Info Brokers, is the address for all the various platforms I just mentioned. And we thank you, in advance. And, oh, yes, on those platforms, click the share button so that your contacts can know that you're listening to Bible Information Brokers, and you can share this show and the archive shows that we have. PCH, I had a question. I think it was last week. It actually was a question I developed last week. And I wanted to ask a question about the difference in how it's treated in the various, the various people who call themselves Christians and the various ministries and religions and denominations that call themselves Christians. Why is it that people don't recognize the reality from a biblical perspective that we are saints, and not in some hocus-pocus type of way that you reach this plateau by all the things that you do, but that we are saints? And can you explain why we are saints and what a saint is?
Well, sure. At least in the New Testament, the word for saints, it comes from the verb hagiazo. Hagias would be the plural saints, and it's someone who's holy. And you say, well, man, you guys aren't holy. And, well, we did talk a little bit about this, but we talked about positional versus practical.
Correct.
But positionally, no, we are saints. We are seen as complete in Christ. And so that's why Paul in Ephesians and elsewhere in chapter 1 refers to the saints. And he also says, it's to the saints at, and then he mentions the city. And he's not talking about people who gone through some process and had miracles done in their names or whatever. He's talking to the whole church, people who've trusted in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that is, as we mentioned, positional righteousness is the idea that God has declared us righteous already, a legal or forensic term. He's declared us from dikaiō, the Greek verb there. He's declared us righteous. He's given to us, he's transferred, he's imputed, we say, a banking or legal term, the righteousness of Jesus to us. And so I'm never going to be more righteous than I am right now. Or the first day I was saved, I'm not going to be any more righteous. And by that I mean Christ's righteousness was given to me in full, completely, totally, in toto. And we're told that he completed the work on the cross, John 19:30, tetelestai. But logizomai is the word used. Doesn't really sound nice, but it's a phenomenal word, and that it's been imputed, reckoned, applied, appropriated for us, the righteousness of Christ. But now, of course, I'm imperfect, and I'm actually growing, I'm maturing, I'm becoming more and more like Christ. We are to grow in our most holy faith, as Paul told us in Philippians 2. And that's what we call practical, that is positional versus practical. So practically, I am and should be growing every day. Now, it's not always a straight linear up and onward. Sometimes I go backwards, lose my temper, you know, whatever. I mean, not that it's okay making excuses for sin, but practically we can and do grow. But, Daryl, because of the positional righteousness, back to your question, God considers us saints. Not because we've been canonized as saints by some pope or college of cardinals or what have you, or had miracles done in our name or whatever. No, because we have been given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God sees us as righteous. He sees us as in Jesus, in Christo, C-H-R-I-S-T-O, a common greeting in the early church. In Christo literally means it's the date of in Christ. And we are in Christ. So because we're seen in Christ and have his righteousness, God accepts us as the beloved, just like he does his beloved son, the Lord Jesus. And that's the beauty. And that's why, Daryl, we're not being presumptuous. We're not being disrespectful. We're not being blasphemous or sacrilegious. We can say we are saints because we've been declared righteous. We've been declared holy by the supreme God of the universe, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And bad grammar, good point, that ain't nothing to mess with.
You know, I brought this up to bring up the bigger point that I want to ask you about is positionally, got you. Now, man used the words pope. The Bible talks about priest, bishop, deacon, various offices and things like that. But then is there a position like a saint that is a layperson? Is that even a position as far as an office and the body of Christ?
Well, sure. And layperson is probably my one favorite word to hate. That the so-called laity, laos in Greek, the people or people. But in this whole idea of a professional clergy, that's I would argue, is unbiblical. Mm. Oh, there's people, well, we're all called to be full-time ministers, kings and priests of the Gospels, we're told in Peter 2:9 and in Revelation as well. Many other key passages, we're called kings and priests before the Lord. We are called saints. But yeah, it applies to every true believer who's trusted in Jesus Christ. They are a saint, and there's everything right with saying that and saying it like that, Daryl. This idea, oh, I'm only a saint if the church recognizes me or I've got some so-called special status. Nope. All true believers are saints before the Lord, and that's what counts.
I appreciate that, PCS, because I notice that man and the traditions that we have in various, I'm just going to say denominations and things like that, have almost like you have to navigate your way through the Word of God to see what is it they're really talking about. Because it seems like in my years since the 70s, coming into Christ in the late 70s, that it seemed like it has always been almost like on a team, you know, like we're talking about sports and all that kind of stuff, All-American. Mm-hmm. It seemed like there's one upsmanship on parking spots. Now I'm just being facetious about the parking spots, but these titles, like pastor ain't good enough for you. Now you are a bishop. And bishop ain't good enough for you because now you're an apostle. Can you just straighten us out on why that is not the way God is trying to set up the order of the church?
Sure, Daryl. I mean, Jesus is very clear that, you know, among the non-Christians, they lord it over one another. They that are in charge. They let you know. And, I mean, there's nothing wrong with a title per se, but I'll be honest, I really don't even like the term lead pastor, senior pastor.
Yeah,
like,
does that make you feel better?
Now, in academia, they talk about, for example, we talk about what's called a full professor versus an associate versus an assistant. They go in that order, but up to down, if you will. But there's a place for it, and there's certainly a place for rank in the military. I get that, but yeah, a lot of these guys, I mean, it's all about, they're all into titles. Now, I know some schools, when a person graduates with an MDiv, which is your basic theology degree, you haven't arrived, you're just really starting, as I like to tell my students, but they call them reverend, but the title I would never use. I mean, the only reverend one I know, their only reverent one is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I personally am uncomfortable with that. But you'll see doctor, brother, reverend, apostle, bishop, you know, whatever, so-and-so. And that's just our little ways we try to, it is, I think it is. Most of that is just one upmanship. I'm important, I'm more important than you. Look at my titles. I must be important. And even the guys and people today who claim to be apostles is like, excuse me, last time I checked, apostle had to see Jesus Christ, but had miracles, they were able to do miracles, that is God through them, I should say. I want to be careful. There was very specific requirements, and one of them was they'd seen the Lord, and Paul saw him, post-resurrection, but still did see him. But, yeah, all this stuff, you know, my classes, anyway, that's self-serving, never mind. the title thing doesn't do anything for me. There's a place, and I'll give people their due, but it's like somebody's really thumping their chest like their doctor. And some of them, by the way, went to podunk schools. They didn't even go to major universities. All universities are not the same. Some programs are much more rigorous, much more difficult. Some people have doctors who didn't get into certain schools. But they're all big on, I'm doctor, you know, sister so-and-so. You know, like, oh, wow, you're important. Wow, I didn't realize I was in the presence of royalty. Yeah.
Well, Reverend, I'm not going to say this to you one time, PCS. I'm going to give you. Hey, Reverend, I just feel like, I don't feel like anything. The reality of the matter is, when I came to Christianity, and the word sissy was used a while ago by our dear friend Randy, and about the horseshoe game. And I'm telling you something, that when I first came to the church, I saw that I can see why prayer is so necessary, because you can get lost in this governance of church, where people are going to have it so many different ways that people who don't want to put in the work. And that's why the Bible warns us about teaching. It warns us, it warns people about the greater judgment is going to be upon the leadership of those that God has set up in the church. And well, it should be. It's almost like if we were more responsible for even our children and the way that now our society is trying to say that we are, our children are society's children. Well, no, it ain't, because y'all ain't feed. Y'all didn't feed mine. Y'all didn't pay for mine. But the point I'm trying to make, PCH, is that when I came to Christianity and I saw how the church was doing, I saw it as a situation where people didn't take things serious in the governance of the church. And the reason why I'm saying they didn't take it serious, because they didn't deal with one thing in particular for me, which is one of my pet peeves, which is discipline. It didn't deal with the making the judgments that are right there. In other words, my favorite two chapters in the whole Bible is probably 1 Corinthians 5 and 1 Corinthians 6 that tell us how we ought to deal with each other, and along with Matthew 18 and things like that, Matthew 5, how we have to deal with each other when we have problems, when we have unresolved issues, not only in our family and among each other, but in particular in the church. And they didn't deal with their problems very well on something that not even the pagans have a problem with. We had a guy in 1 Corinthians 5 having sex with his father's wife, and Paul was criticizing the Corinthian church, and in the same Corinthian church that had all the spiritual gifts in operation, right? But yet they could not deal with these simple things. Craig, in your experience, in your 30 plus years in Christianity, have you seen the church deal with this on a what's the word I'm looking for? On a basis that is consistent throughout the various denominations that you know of?
Well, not like it should, Daryl. Not like it should. I mean, I think we're far too tolerant. Look, if when people sin and they repent, we should forgive them. We don't rub their face in it. We're constantly bringing it up, what have you. But we tolerate too much sin, I believe, on the whole. In the name of maudlinism, which means emotionalism, overly emotional, we give people passes on things that we shouldn't. And so, like you mentioned, the guy was shacking up with his dad's wife, major sin. I mean, to say the least. And there are all kinds of stuff going on, and particularly in the name of so-called Christian leaders. A lot of these guys and gals who use these titles, by the way, are always big on their titles, have been involved in horrific sin. I don't mean they just fell in and then they got back out. I mean, they wallowed in the mire for, 5, 10, 15, 20 years. I mean, really outrageous sin. And it ought not to be.
And I'm just going to say this from a geopolitical sense, and we only have about 3 minutes left, that I just noticed on the news that same type of thing is going on with this particular administration and our government that is dealing with the support financially and foreign aid to the African nations. And the ones that was mentioned is the same ones that were mentioned during the Obama administration. I remember this happening. It's not that I'm against any administration per se, but I'm against an administration that would try to hold back aid that would normally do because of a sin like homosexuality and stuff like that, and the way some of the African nations deal with it, compared to us, very harshly, whereby it's like a felony, get jail time, and people get actually the death sentence for propagating that and living it out. And by doing so, our government has tried to withhold aid, and I've seen some of the presidents of their interview about it and saying the United States need to not try to be the moral authority over things in the way that our country is being ran currently. And I'm not struggling with it. I'm just praying to the Lord that his will be done. PCH, you got 35 seconds.
eternity is too long to be wrong, and 1 Thessalonians 5 test all things, and we say, yeah, that includes what we say.
Indeed.
Don't just believe it because Pastor, Reverend, Doctor, whomever said it. check it because it's faithful to the Word of God, and it's what the Bible actually teaches. It's just like truth in advertising. Because somebody says something, don't make it so. Check it out. Test all things. Hold fast to that which is good.
Pray for us. Please pray for us. I'm just going to ask you to do that. Pray for us, ministry-wise, individually, various ministries that we have going on. I'm Daryl A.Z.D. Fulton, Mama Grace, and Big Daddy's baby boys. And if the Lord is willing, we'll be back next week with more of the Bible Information Brokers presented by Living by the Word Ministries and the faithful supporters of the same. God bless you on behalf of the whole team. See you next week, Lord willing.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.